Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. When I started Hope Is Here in December of 2017, the main reason was because of my own suicidal thoughts in 2001 after losing my business, home, and marriage in about a 24-hour period because of a flood. And then after losing three friends over the past few years because of suicide, the last friend left two precious daughters ages 5 and 7 behind. I just kind of had a holy discontent in my heart and decided that someone has got to do something about this growing epidemic of suicide in our country. In John 10:10, Jesus warned us that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But thankfully, in the next breath, Jesus said, "But I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full." Suicide is definitely a way that Satan tries to destroy people's lives and the ripple effect upon their loved ones that are left behind of pain and unanswered questions leaves an incredible scar on their hearts. Today, we're going to hear a story of hope from a mother and daughter that the lie of suicide tried to destroy them, but thankfully, though they walked through, as Psalm 23 says, the valley of the shadow of death, Aaron, a precious 17-year-old high school student at the time who had lost hope and attempted suicide, miraculously lived through it. And we're going to hear what Elizabeth, her mom, and Aaron learned walking through this valley. In fact, they co-authored a book named Valley of the Shadow. Aaron, thanks for joining us. I know you're in West Virginia today, so thanks for being with us.
Yes, of course. I mean, thankfully not, you know, too much of a time difference or anything, as in none. So that was a positive, made it easier.
Absolutely.
Well, we're excited to be here today.
Well, we're glad to have you with us. Your mom, Elizabeth, in studio with us. But, you know, Aaron, I read the book and was really moved by it, as I also have a passion to help people with this lie and threat of suicide. You were 17. You had just finished your junior year of high school. Summertime was starting, and overall, your life seemed pretty good at the time, didn't it?
It did, and I think that is one of the big lies that, you know, we are told about suicide and that Satan spreads to, especially those who are in the faith, is just that, you know, everything on the outside seems good, and, you know, you're a Christian, you're supposed to be happy, and that's just what you're supposed to be all the time, and that is such a lie. You know, we go through, you know, everyone goes through struggles in their lives, no matter what. You know, the devil is not biased about your faith or your, you know, money or anything like that. He goes after people, and that is what is, you know, I think that makes it so different. When you're talking suicide, you know, it's something that comes, it can come after anybody, even if things look beautiful on the outside. I was the complete, I was the person that you would never have expected. You know, I led prayer group at school. I was, you know, very involved in my church. I did, you know, led youth group and everything. You know, I did it all, everything by the book that I was supposed to do. And it didn't change the fact that I was absolutely tore up and dealing with depression and dealing with these suicidal thoughts on the inside, because on the outside, I gave off a really good mask, and it made everyone, you know, oh, that's what it's supposed to be, and it's perfect, and everything's happy, and in reality, it's not.
Elizabeth, let me ask you, as a mom, you know, you had a flock of children at that time, but, you know, it was a busy household, but your husband was in ministry, you were involved in the church, you know, things seemed to be, you know, as normal can get at your home at that time, so you kind of kind of share with that how things were in your opinion at that time, that summer?
At the time when the summer started, yeah, we felt like everything was going along perfect, you know, with our normal family chaos. And we do have 5 children and are very blessed in all of them. They're all very, very different in their personalities and the way their lives have kind of turned out and their journeys. But at that time, we were thinking that everything was normal. We have been the kind of parents who have been super involved with our kids. We took them to church. We took them to vacation Bible school. We took them to church camp. My husband actually led the high school church camp, and I led the 5th and 6th grade camp because if it wasn't available to our kids, we were going to make sure it was available by actually filling in those gaps. And at the time, my husband was a pastor of a church, and I was also working in ministry. I have also taught for many years. I'm an educator, so my experience throughout the years of my vocation, just I was very sure that we were doing everything right. And I think the lesson that I've learned is that you can do everything that the experts recommend. You can read every book on Christian parenting. You can read every book on how to have a good Christian marriage, and still you can be blindsided by something like this. And one of the things that Aaron and I have found out that as we have talked to people and shared our story is that people have come up to us and started sharing stories that were either similar or something different that had the same effect on their faith and family because they had not been able to find a safe place to talk about it. So one of the things that we have tried to do with our book is, first of all, break the silence about suicide and suicidal depression. The other thing we've tried to do is create a safe place for people to be able to come to us, tell their stories. We can pray for them. We can offer them resources. We've done clergy seminars. We've done youth group presentations. Aaron usually takes the youth group ones. We've done church camp conferences. And I've also done seminary classes because I think it is so important that our experience not be wasted, but that it help other people to find hope.
Well, I love you talk about hope throughout your book called Valley of the Shadow, and we're going to be telling about how you can get that at the end of our program. But, Aaron, thankfully this is a story of hope, but talk to us about that night, about, you know, why you felt like you just needed to end your life and how you went about doing that night.
Yeah, it was kind of a typical night. I had been out with a boyfriend at the time and broke curfew a little bit. Not too bad. I was normally this really good kid. That's what I think shocked my parents the most. I was the kid that never got in trouble for anything, ever. I had three older brothers. So, you know, you watch them get in trouble. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. This, obviously, I followed in the footsteps, broke curfew, and I was getting in trouble with my dad. And the next morning, I was actually supposed to be leaving for a youth group conference that my whole youth group was going to. And it wasn't that one situation that led me to that decision at all. It was a buildup of many, many things. And I would say probably quite a bit of time of dealing with depression and not vocalizing it. I think part of it was I didn't even realize that was what I was going through. I don't think I knew exactly because, you know, like my mom said, it's something that we don't talk about in the church. I had never really heard anyone talk about depression in the church or what that looked like or what it felt like or how to deal with it. So not realizing that, it was just like, hey, you know what? This is the straw that's breaking the camel's back. Everyone here would be better off without me. Everyone would. And I mean, my parents already have four kids and they're fantastic. Look at them. And I just don't fit in with this. So I took it, you know, and I took it that way, and I took it very personally, and not realizing that there is hope and that there is more beyond just today. And so I went through and did over-the-counter medication, took over 100 pills, and just passed out. And I blacked out for 3 days. I woke up in a hospital 3 days later, not remembering a thing. That I kind of had to be filled in by everybody else. Apparently, I did some really funny things, but take invisible lint off people, lots of hugs. But that's not to downplay what happened. That is, you know, I don't like to talk about this too much without a little bit of humor because I always think you should never leave a talk about depression feeling depressed. So I like to keep it a little bit light. But the truth is, you know, this is something that a lot of people are silent on, and it's very awkward to talk about it. And when you're talking about true depression, especially young children, you know, I was 17, that's still a kid going through something and feeling that they're in so much despair that they have no escape but to take their own life. And that is terrifying for me. And I was there. so, you know, that is why we do this. It's because I don't want one more kid to feel like they're going through this life alone, or that this is a hopeless situation, or that they are worthless. It's my least favorite word in the entire English language, is worthless. And, you know, that is what is beautiful about being, having the faith that we have. And, you know, I was very lucky to be able to survive this situation with as little impact on me physically and emotionally and mentally as I think it just about could have had.
All right, Elizabeth, as her mom, talk about that night. Where did you find Aaron, and walk us through what that was like? And just, I mean, I can't even imagine, but I read it in your book and took my breath away, but share with us.
Sure. As Aaron said, she was scheduled to go on a trip, and we had a dog at the time, and it was theoretically Aaron and her sister's dog. And so I went downstairs in the morning to have Aaron take her dog out because I was tired of being the person to pinch hit for that job. And I found her in her open suitcase, and she was lying across the suitcase, and it was filled with pools of vomit. And because her body had tried to purge itself of the drugs she had taken. And I want to make it clear that Erin was never a drug addict or had any problem with drug addiction. She just impulsively took what happened to be in our cabinet at the time. And she was babbling. She was not unconscious, but she was incoherent. And I shook her, and I grabbed her, and I couldn't get her attention. And I ran and got my husband, and God bless him, he just scooped her up in his strong arms, and we took her to the hospital. And it began an odyssey, as Aaron said. It lasted over 3 days, and we just didn't know if she was going to survive. We just did not know. And at the hospital, they ran an IV, and they put her into a bed, and basically the cocktail she had particularly mixed could not be expunged by pumping her stomach, for example. And so it was just became a waiting game, and we had to keep feeding her liquids. And because she was incoherent, we weren't really able to get through to her. At one point, she was fighting me. I was trying to keep her down on the bed, and at one point, she was fighting me, and she said, "You can't tell me this. You're not my mother." And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I am." And she just immediately calmed down and rested down. So there were moments when God's spirit just went right through the haze of the drugs. And it just became a waiting game. And my eldest son at that time was working for a doctor. So he became our lifeline. Her two other brothers came from Morgantown, where they were in college at WVU. And then my youngest daughter was at home. And I think it was a very growing up day for Rebecca, because we're calling her and saying, "Look in the trash can, see what she took." And Rebecca was 14 at the time. So the whole family kind of converged, and we just kind of kept vigil for those days until as we went through. And the reason we call the book The Valley of the Shadow is we were right in the middle of it, and we didn't know if she was going to survive or not. And the doctors were very clear that it was quite possible that she wouldn't. So we found ourselves in a very, very dark place, and we're really just clinging to God for his help in that place.
All right, we're going to have to hold it and stop there today, but we're going to have Aaron and Elizabeth Stone with us continuing this story of hope. They're going to give some wisdom, what they've learned from this situation, both Aaron as the daughter, a teenage daughter, and Elizabeth as a mom. They've got a great book called Valley of the Shadow. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of and check out their website, valleyoftheshadow.org. That's valleyoftheshadow.org. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.